The last words of David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look at verse 1. And verse 1 says, "Now these are the last words of David." Ever think about how we treasure the last words? Someone passes away and does not your mind. Your mind may not be like the mind of some, and for sure like like my mind, when individuals say, "Well, I remember the last time I saw him. I remember the last thing he said to me." Now, I'm not sure exactly why we treasure those words, because every word is important. Every word any loved one of ours who's passed on says has worth. But is it not true that we treasure the last words? Think of somebody that you know that's died. Think of the last statement they made to you, and we treasure that. And that may not be true in your life. I had just come back from 7 years with a brief 3 months break in that period, being away from my father and my mother. I was about 30 years of age and came back from New Zealand and had been back about 6 months. And my daddy died overnight, actually died early the next morning, but the afternoon before he died, my dad and I sat outside in that little office outside of the house where I had grown up. He had the business that ran out of the backyard, the back part of that house, and we spent at least 3 hours, could have been longer than that. And I would not take anything for those 3 hours. And for the power and the strength that in my own life, the power and strength that I have from the last words of my father. Now, all the words, every word that individuals say, but for some reason we treasure the last. And if you know that this is the last time you're going to see anybody, you make those words special. You really, really make those words special. When I left to go to New Zealand and the South Pacific as a missionary back in 1962, when I left, as I got into the car, my dad walked over. And I will never forget the last words he said, because I'd already decided if he were to die, it cost so much money back then to come back from overseas. And we stayed 4 years without ever coming back. And I thought, well, if he dies, I'll not come back for the funeral. And I'll never forget what he said to me. The power of those last words. Let me see if I can illustrate this biblically. What are the last words of Joshua? Can you think of the last thing Joshua... He calls all of Israel together. He's about to die. And you know the last words of Joshua? He rehearses what God has done and how God has blessed Israel. But he says, and if I start this, you'll be able in your own mind to finish it. "Choose you this day. But as for me and my house, we will..." You've got that, right? And we preach sermons about the last words of Joshua. What about the last words of Jesus? The last words he spoke as he was dying. Right after he said, "It is finished," here's what he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Would you treasure that? Had Jesus never been raised from the dead? Would you not treasure the fact that here is this sainted one, and far more than that, but here's this holy sainted one who taught us that the end of the life is whenever our soul, by our own volition and our own words, "Father, into your hands I'm giving you my soul." That's pretty good, isn't it? The last words of Jesus. What about the last words he spoke before he left this earth? Depending on whether you're reading the last verses of Matthew or Mark or Luke or those last words in Acts, they're all pretty much the same. And that is, you go preach the gospel to every creature. You go make disciples of all nations. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Or, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost. And that's the last thing He ever said. Would you treasure that? If you were the apostles and Jesus is taken up there. Now, what did He just say? He said, you make sure everybody knows about it. Would you treasure those last words? What about the last words of Paul? 2 Timothy is the last book that he writes. Can you think of anything that is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where in the first part of that verse, preach the word? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You do the work of an evangelist. I have fought a good fight. Old redneck in Alabama reading this said, I have fit a good fought. And that's exactly, those are his last words. And you read a few other verses that are a part of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I don't know of any chapter in the Bible that I've spent more time at just imagining. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, Timothy, get here. The hour of my departure is at hand. Try to get here before winter. Bring that cloak. Do everything you can, and only Luke is with me. Timothy, get here. There is laid up for me from this day on the crown of righteousness which the Lord... That's his last words. Last words of Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we're not aware when the end is about to come. But by the Holy Spirit, David was able to say, here's my last message. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And you may want to open up your Bible. That's all we look at is these seven verses. David is dying. And he says something that will help not just his family, but that will help Israel. If you knew you could give a final message to your children, to your grandchildren, what would that final message be? Some of you may remember the name Bill Hatcher, who preached here. Was it 14 years he preached here? And he left behind a letter for Peggy, his wife. Is that a treasure? Last words. My grandmother, that I've talked about and used in illustrations before, the day of her funeral, she had given to my aunt, if you're sophisticated, given to my aunt a letter. And the day of the funeral, my aunt walked in to my favorite uncle and says, Mama's got something she wants you to hear today. You want to read it before the funeral or afterwards? Now, treasure, you know what a treasure that is? And I mention those things because that might be something you would, in your own life, think about doing in relationship to your loved ones. And I know some of you have done that and have given me things to be said at your funeral or given me the very writing of things you want read to your family on that day. Last words. David, what are your last words? David says, I am David, the servant of God. Look at verse 1. These are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, thus says the one anointed by the God of Jacob, thus says the sweet psalmist of Israel. Is David not discussing his life right here? Is David not calling upon Solomon and those who knew him to look back to the son of Jesse? And to look at the son of Jesse from the time that he was just the son of Jesse until the time that he was king over Israel, anointed by God, blessed by God unbelievably? Is not David trying to say in these words, look at my life. What do you learn about David, the son of Jesse? Oh, I remember that occasion, don't you? Whenever Samuel came down to anoint the next king over Israel, where's David? Samuel sees that firstborn, that oldest son of Jesse, knowing that the next king of Israel is going to come from the household of Jesse. And Samuel looks, righteous, holy, godly Samuel looks at Jesse and said, there he is, right there. And God said, no way. Second son, no way. Third son, all the way through the sixth son, no way. And then this statement from God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Wouldn't you like to leave that message? If I were the father of one of these teens, I would want you to know the importance in your life of recognizing it's your heart that matters. Everything in this world says, you be pretty, you be athletic, you do all that you can to beautify yourself. And the last words of David is, I'm the shepherd boy who was not allowed to go to war. I took the cheese and the bread up to my brothers up there, and then my whole life changed because of what had been in my life. I am the one, David said, I am the son of Jesse. I am the one raised up by God and exalted by God. David, tell me about your life. Isn't it remarkable that we know more about the life of David than any other Old Testament character? We know far more about the life of David than we do Abraham, or at least we have an opportunity to know it. You could almost rename the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and name those books 1 David and 2 David. David before he is king in 1 Samuel, David after he is king in 2 Samuel. Exalted by God. And they'd ask for a king that might be exalted above all others. And God said to David, and David wrote it in one of the Psalms, I took you from among the sheepfold to be a ruler over Israel. We sang tonight about the Lord being our shepherd. Because there's something that a person learns from the sheepfold that allows him to be the ruler. He's the man anointed by God. Anointed to be king whenever by Samuel. But even more than that, anointed by God in all of his life, he was one chosen by God. And thus, he was the one who sang praises to God. I am the sweet psalmist of Israel. David says, I want to tell you, I want to remind you about my life. And when he reminds us about his life, there is a strength that comes from looking at the life of David and seeing what a man after God's own heart did in relationship to everything that happened in his life. In verse 2, it's David and the Holy Spirit of God. Look in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was on my tongue. There's a great affirmation of inspiration here. And there may be this affirmation and exaltation of the matter of inspiration to all of those who would follow and who might treasure His last words. When I read the Psalms, guess what I'm reading? Not just the words of David. I'm reading the words, the very word given by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Lord spake to David, and the Lord speaks through David. He has spoken through David, has he not, to you in those times of adversity when all you had was, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Where'd that come from? Oh, it's David. No. That's David and the Holy Spirit of God, and God taking this unbelievable message of the Lord being our shepherd with His rod and His staff and the green pastures and the still waters and all that is involved in that. The Lord talking about He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Words of the Holy Spirit given through David. He spoke to David, and through David He speaks to mankind. He speaks to us. Is not David saying, as you think about what I have said, recognize they come from God? Because you see, the words that are on our lips are the words that come up. The words that are on our lips are the words that come out of our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And David is the one who says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, thy word, if I hid in my heart, and whatever is in our hearts is that which comes out of our lips." David's last words, "Listen to what God said, because I've spoken it to you." What a message. "I'm dying," David says. "I'm the one whom God has exalted and whom God has anointed. I've been chosen by God." Hang on just a minute. Isn't that you? Are not you the son of a Jesse? Insignificant person, not prominent in any way, and has not the God of heaven exalted you? And has not the God of heaven anointed you? And has not the God of heaven made you His chosen ones? Don't you think it'd be good if at the end of your life you could say to your children, "Look back at my life. Look how God used me." I've never shared with anyone on this earth what my father told me in those 3 hours that we talked together. They are a hidden treasure in my heart. But it's very similar to this. "Here's my life, Dan. And here is my dream. If I could live a much, much longer time, here's what I want to do the rest of my life." And the power of his description of what he wanted to do the rest of his life lives in me. That's David. Son of Jesse, exalted by God, and the words that come out of my mouth are the words that come from the Holy Spirit of God. But then David talks about, in beginning in verse 3, "The God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, spoke to me." And the God of Israel, the Rock of Jesse, or by the Rock of Israel, talks to David about the kind of ruler he ought to be. David's about to die. And so he says, "I want you to understand, first of all, that the message that I have is from the God of Israel." At the burning bush, "I am that I am. I'm the Eternal One. I am the I Am." And so David says, "These words that I speak, that I'm going to tell you about the kind of ruler that you need to be, these are the words from the I Am that I Am." They're from the Rock. We think about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and how that takes and makes an application of the rock that they drank from was Christ. They drank of that spiritual drink in that wilderness. David knew about that. And he knew, no doubt, the latter part of Deuteronomy chapter 28 or 31 and 32, where the Bible talks about the God of heaven being the Rock of Israel. But it was not just a message to God, to David, about rulers. Look at the rest of that verse, because It is the message of God to other rulers. And that almost has application to every one of us here, or it will someday have application to us. It has application to Solomon. He's going to be the next ruler. But it has application to every ruler in Israel, does it not? And does it not have application to those who rule in the home, who rule over children? What did the God of heaven say about ruling? He says, rulers, you need to be just. Rulers, you need to live and serve under God in the fear of God. Because those kind of rulers are like the morning sun as it comes up. You want to flip this over and look at the negative of it? You look at the negative of it and think about rulers in America. When there's ungodliness in Washington, how much are you filled with despair? And isn't every day a dark day? There's no light in this day. But those who are godly rulers, those who fear the Lord, whether we're talking about Solomon or about judges or about fathers and mothers, about elders in the church, serve the Lord, fear the Lord, and you always be just. You know what justice is? I'll tell you what it is. And I don't want you to ever forget it. It may be the first time you've ever heard this. But justice is always doing right. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right and never right to do wrong. And that's right because the Bible is right. Rulers, kings, presidents, senators, congressmen, judges, elders, husbands, parents, you do that which is right in the fear of God, and you'll be like that bright shining sun. Husbands, is there much sunlight in your house? Because justice is there, and there's the fear of God. He's like a morning, he's like the sun that rises, a morning without clouds. Beautiful day today. Feel real good. Not one of those cloudy days where it just clouds over and there's darkness and despair and you get depressed just because of the weather. Where there are just rulers, it's a cloudless day in your homes. How much clouds are you bringing into your home and into the life of your children? Be just and fear the Lord. And they're like flourishing vegetation. And as I thought about this, I thought about that shepherd boy trying to find that abundance of grass for all of those sheep that were in his charge. And so when he talks about this grass that is growing there, that is flourishing, and that's what it's like figuratively, poetically, when they are just rulers who fear the Lord. Kings, Washington, church, husbands, parents. David's dying, and he has a message to give to every ruler. What do you do about, well, you're like the sunshine after the rain. That's also in there, but we'll get over to the last part of this. And that is verse 6 and verse 7. David's about to die. What are you going to do about ungodliness? God and evil men, he says they're like thorns. Verse 6, the sons of rebellion. Do you know the words Belial, Belial? What fellowship hath righteousness with Belial? That's the Hebrew word that's here. That which symbolizes all that is evil, but the sons of rebellion shall all be as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hand. And it takes a while looking at that, trying to figure it out, and I'm dependent on the commentators for trying to figure it out. But those prickly briars they had over in that part of the world, clusters of briars, that's what evil people are like. And it's hard to push them aside. They cannot easily be taken with hands, but the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear. And I suspect we know who is the ultimate one who has the shaft of iron and the spear of steel. We understand who that is, do we not? Who does with those who are evil? We try to touch them with a hand and we're hurt again and again by the evil that's in the world. But you need to understand that evil will never triumph. There is the one who has the rod of iron and the shaft of the spear that's able just to chop down these things that the hand may not be able to touch, and look at their destiny. Their destiny is to be burned with fire. David's last words. David, what are you trying to say? I'm an old man. I was young. And when I was young, God took me and talked to me. He exalted me and has used me as an instrument to speak for God. And you need to look at my life and listen to my words, because my life and my words will teach you about living. And especially, it'll teach you how to be a good ruler, just, fearing God, one that brings cloudless days into the church, into the family, and into the lives of our children. The refreshing rain, the freshness of grass and vegetation as the spring of the year comes, and there is that abundance of that springtime. David says, look at my life, listen to my words, and this is what you will learn. Well, what about all this evil? Don't you worry about all of this evil that's in the world. God's going to take care of you. He's taking care of me. What about these evil men? What about Saul trying to kill me and throwing the spear at me? What about my sons trying to kill me? What about me being deposed from being the king of Israel? What about me being a renegade or a fugitive all of those years, with even not just Saul but my own son trying to kill me? Don't you worry about evil. We know the destiny. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's made a covenant with me that my kingdom shall exist forever and ever. And we are the recipients of that everlasting covenant that God made with David because of that king, Emmanuel, who came and built that kingdom, that everlasting kingdom that we're a part of. Last words of David, something to think about. I would encourage you, sometime just sit down and read 1 Samuel, or sometimes sit down and read 2 Samuel and see the hand of God on every page in those books. Now we come to that part of our service where we encourage people to obey the Lord. You know the steps of obedience, do you not? To believe in Him. Is there anyone here that doesn't know that you need to believe in Jesus? The steps of obedience involves making a decision, not just a mental assent to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, but faith that brings about a transformation of life that begins with the transformation of the heart, a decision, I'm going to follow Him. And except you do that, you'll perish. That's what Jesus said, and I believe it, and I know you do. If you haven't made that decision, you ought to make it tonight. Because the only thing then that you need to do is to let individuals know that you believe in Jesus so they can baptize you and let you be washed in the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of all of your sins. He'll add you to His family, to the church, to the kingdom. And then He says to all of us, come to the end of your life like David came to the end of his life, faithful until I die. And as Paul says, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not your heart. If you don't have a henceforth in expecting the crown of righteousness, or if you do not have an expectation that you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, won't you make whatever changes you need to make right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?